Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Off the ball, rugby.
I enjoy the box and I enjoy South Africa. I still love South Africa. So it doesn't sound like because I enjoy it here, I dislike what I did there. So that was the whole thing.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans on Off the Ball. My name is Rory O'Hagan, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. Look back at a disappointing night for Munster, a real game of two halves as they go down to the Stormers and have that unbeaten run snapped. We'll talk about that, we'll name our star of the week, and we'll look ahead to a massive game against Bath in the Champions Cup. That's all to come on this week's episode of the Red 78. Quinny, Fiona, it's been a while since we've last had a chat. How are you guys?
Good. It's been too long. I didn't realise I'd miss your lovely faces so much seeing you here now.
Don't leave that for a second.
Quinny's been very busy. I haven't been as busy. So, you know, he's always up to all sorts, isn't he?
Quinny, how are you, boy?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, very good. Yeah, we're back a couple of weeks away with the international stuff and looking forward to Munster getting back in the European Cup, of course. Mm. That's a great competition. Looking forward to that getting going next week. Yeah, and Fiona didn't get the sack yet. She's still in the job. That's the other bit of break.
Hang on a second, though, right? Hang on a second. They were 19-0 down at halftime, Quinny. They came back to win 22-19. And from all the reports I've been hearing, it's all because of Fiona Hayes' game management.
Brought on the bomb squad. Rory's saying all the reports he's hearing, the reports from me.
That's exactly what Fiona said. I made the changes. Nah, I want the credit here.
Absolutely not. No, yeah, and it was all taking place during the Munster match, so I was delighted with that comeback, and I've been checking up on the Munster scores but missed the tail end of the Munster match, so it was the opposite torture then when I went into the clubhouse, see the last couple of minutes of the game going, no.
Well, we'll talk about that game in just a sec. It's a busy time for Munster as well. 5 huge games coming up in the next month, so we'll have a little look ahead to those as well. First, Fiona, a couple of comments reaching us on the show today.
Yeah, and thanks again, guys, for sending them in. So cheers. We'll start with Keane McGibney. Has definitely a game of two halves. We will face a similar situation on Saturday evening versus Bath, where they will most likely go with that 6-2 split on the bench. Our attack was great in the first half. Alalatoa will come into the 23, need to shore up that scrum. Steve, scrum a worry after Saturday night. Looking forward to seeing Michael Alalatoa would bring to us. Can't afford a slow start against a decent Bath side this week. And we'll go with Martin. Too many sloppy penalties given away by Munster. Hopefully they've gotten it all out of their system after the weekend ahead of this huge period for us, starting with that massive Champions Cup games.
All right, Quinny. Easy question to ask with a difficult answer, I suppose. What went wrong for Munster in the second half?
Yeah, I've asked a lot of people that in the last few days myself, and that was probably the feeling after the game on Saturday night. I think, first of all, Stormers were very, very good. Munster didn't allow them play in the first half. Munster actually played really, really well. Some of probably the most cohesive attacking kind of front foot rugby we've seen from this season. I think they all, even Clayton McMillan said afterwards, I think that was probably the best they played this season. And could have got another couple of scores. Their ambition, urgency, accuracy around the breakdown, catch pass, simple skills, very, very good. So second half, I think the Stormers brought on 6 forwards and 1 goal, didn't they? And they made a big difference. And I think, look, they were always going to react. I think I've played in matches like that where you've got a good bit of dominance in the first half, and there's always going to be a period in the half where a really good team like the Stormers are going to have their moments, and that's where you've got to stay strong defensively, make sure your discipline is good, get your set piece right. And that wasn't the case for Munster. They kind of buckled under pressure a bit. And actually, straight after halftime, Munster started, with great pace again, and looked like possibly they could get that four try and then really kick on and have a dominant win. But credit to the Stormers, they came back and they played some really direct, aggressive. And they start, I think, from their point of view, they started to feel that they could get on top physically, and they did. They started getting on top physically, and 58 minutes since when they got that try from Andre Smith, who came off the bench. Then, 4 minutes later, 10 minutes later, they get the crossfield kick. And then you're thinking, ooh, that's going to be it's going to be a nervy last 12 minutes. And I thought Munster would react to that and would be able to get a little bit of territory and get a little bit of pressure in the attack zone of the Stormers and play in their half of the field, basically. But the Ruinell intercept then was the kind of nail in the coffin, really. And then the unfortunate part of the knock-on from Jack Crowley. It would have been a great, brilliant score, the crossfield kick to Tom Farrell. And, he nails the conversion. You think they're back, and then TMO intervenes, and it's the right call. So, a game of two halves. I think someone actually said to me, was the second half for the Stormers as good as the first half for the Munsters? Well, for Munster, well, from their point of view, yes, I would say when you come back like that and you're 21-6 down, you don't allow the opposition to score in the second half, and you scored three converted tries. I think, of course it was. For Munster, they lacked control. And it wasn't as if, they had 58% possession in the game. So most of that, to be honest, was probably the first half. It was much higher in the first half, but they had plenty of ball in that second half, and they didn't control it. They didn't hold on to it. They turned the ball over too easily. They kicked inaccurately, and just put themselves under all sorts of pressure and kept inviting the Stormers back. Of course, the kind of elephant in the room is the scrum again, isn't it? And we saw that in the international the week before, where they just obliterated Munster scrum. There were seven infringements at scrum time. One of them was a free kick. I think there were six penalties. So, I think that's what happened. It's a long summation. I think if Munster have a solid scrum, maybe they win the game. There was always going to be a reaction from the Stormers. But, Munster dropped their level of intensity a little bit. And the yellow card for Gavin Coombs is a kind of a significant period and moment. And it was silly. He's given away two silly yellow cards in the last couple of games. One against Connacht and one against the Stormers, and it didn't help the other night. I think it just started to unravel for Munster in that second half, and they didn't really have the control or maybe the leadership to make good, simple decisions. The intercept try from Ruinell, it's easy in hindsight and easy for me to say, or maybe Fionn or anybody else, but I just think when just after conceding a try, you have a scrum in their half, you win the scrum, just punch it up, just start building phases, use a couple of one-out runners. There's probably no need for that pass out the back, and Ruinell reads it very well. Again, hindsight's a great thing. If Munster score a try off that, we'd all say it's a great call. So, look, it's easy to say that afterwards, but I just thought that there was still a point up, and they needed to simplify things and just really protect the ball for 5-6 minutes, get into the 70th minute there, 71, 72 minutes. And then, you can start making just simple decisions and good decisions and try to keep the Stormers out of your half, really. So it was a gift, and it was a very costly one. But I think it wasn't the reason they lost the match. I think it was a culmination of poor inaccuracy, turning the ball over, and then physically just not fronting up like they needed to.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Yeah, Fiona Clayton McMillan was quite brutally honest afterwards. He says teams will have seen chinks in our armour now, and that they let themselves down on Saturday. Tactically speaking, Fiona, like Munster, 15 points up at half time. What should they have changed in the second half to I suppose better protect that lead?
Yeah, well, look, I don't even think it's the second half. I think Quinny nailed it on the head there when he talks about the last few minutes, you know, when they're up and those remaining, because you still have to play attacking rugby. You still have to go with what you want to do. But there was moments in the match where I felt like they could have tightened things up. Even there was a line out, they mauled it, they got caught, and it just, yes, sometimes you're thinking, but like, get it off the top, hit it up at 12. I just felt like they overplayed at times, and when you're looking, you know, even Quinny was talking about it there, that scrum, 100%, a loop play is always a bit of a danger when you're in that area, when you have a defence hungry to get the ball, but also you're looking at, Quinny might agree, about 99% of the time they're practicing this right on the training ground, this exact set move. That's coming down channel two, right? So that's coming down a different channel. We've got it more at the back, and we have Crowley a little bit deeper on that. So that gives a chance for Casey to be able to keep up with the play. But because it was coming out channel one, they knew it had to be a quick ball. You can see that the timings were all off in that. And obviously Crowley has to keep his eyes ahead. But to give that pass, Casey was absolutely nowhere. Well done by Ruanel, but it was the timings on that and the understanding around maybe this isn't where we do this type of play. And Quinny said it, something crash, a couple of phases, kick it back to them deep, get up line speed. I just felt like against a South African powerful team that were annihilating even, I suppose, the scrum, let's be honest about it at times, that those turnovers, those key moments, those 50-50 balls that you're giving them a knock on, you're giving them a scrum, because at the end of the day, and I think, you know, Dobson spoke about it with you, Quinny, at the end as well, they can't control, because Munster are really good and teams against South African teams will just strike down channel one and be gone. But if you give them the ball and they're, you know, you easily turn over. He spoke about how much time they spend on scrums. I love hearing it. I was obsessed with his interview afterwards. But how much time, and they can control their own scrum, and that's where they want to milk penalties and go after. So I just felt like the game management around trying to hold on to the ball, not give away that, especially in those last few moments of the game, that's where I really was disappointed with that. And look, people will argue we're not back in old school rugby where you're trucking it up. I'm not saying that. It's just tightening things up. It's really looking after the ball, making sure the connections are right, everybody's together. And that means having a little bit of a narrow play. Yes, you can kick it back to them then, but certainly I think that set play in particular, It frustrated me, because you could see very rarely they probably would run that when it was a channel one ball. So I think it's the movement, how they were positioned off that really messed up that whole move. And look, they'll learn from that. And someone might argue and say, no, they probably do it and look at it in channel one. But you can see by their position that everything was off, even how they ran their lines. It was slow.
Yeah, and I think though, like it wasn't a disastrous performance in the second half where they didn't. I think they just kind of might have switched off a little bit. They really enjoyed the first half, and I thought they were very impressive. So they've got to try and build on what they did in the first half, and then just be a bit shrewder with what they do with the ball when they're absorbing some pressure. But some of the penalties were very poor as well.
Mm.
I think around the 65th minute there, before the Dylan Mark crossfield kick, Munster had Stormers pinned back in their own 22, and they just jumped the gun, the tail of the line out. They gave away a soft penalty, and 2 minutes later, they're in under the post themselves. Those are the moments you've got to make sure that you do the simple thing well, you defend well, you let them kick it out, and kind of frustrate the opposition a little bit, because if they're playing in their own half, they've got to try and force it a little bit as well. So yeah, there was a couple of moments there where the penalties were very, very soft. And Munster actually kicked the ball 33 times in the game. Some of the crossfield kicks, I think, were there was a few too many. You could argue that it's brave and it's ambitious and it's part of the game plan, and that if Jack Crowley hadn't touched the ball forward for the last try that was disallowed, well, then you could argue and say, well, it they all don't work, but that one worked perfectly. But yeah, I think they'd be very frustrated. I think the South African teams, and given what their international side were able to do to Ireland the week before, they're all going to try and build on that and say, right,
yeah.
And the problem for any of the other teams in the URC, I think the South African teams are going to get stronger, and they have had great kind of dominant performance in the last performances, all of them in the URC. But I think they sense a little bit of blood now in the Northern Hemisphere and with the other teams, that they can overpower teams at scrum, at line-out maul and stuff like that. And, you know, it's hard to defend against it. So, yeah, Munster made some mistakes and it was frustrating, but Stormers were very, very powerful. It's a kind of a scary prospect that they have some world-class players to come back into their team.
Yeah, is there any leeway to be given to Munster, Fiona, given that, like, I suppose they haven't played competitively in 5 weeks and maybe a little bit of ring rustiness might have crept in last Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, they started well, which is what you want from your team. You know, they went out, I suppose, 100%. I mean, that performance in the first half, Quinny spoke about it, was unbelievable at times. The attack in rugby, how they went about their business. We're just analysing, I suppose, how it went wrong in that second half. And that's not to take away from the Stormers up in their game as well. They had nothing to lose. Dobson emptied the bench. They were brought on the big guys, and they decided, look, I want to get my start in that in other games. So they went for it as well. And I think sometimes when you're away from home and you do that, I mean, the pressure is heaped on Munster. Certainly, I think there was some brilliant performances. Everything is fixable. I know we spoke about this scrum, but I'm sure they'll spend more time on looking at that. And people wrote in about Alala Toa. He might anchor that down. I wonder, will we see Salanoa soon? You know, so I think a bit of bulk as well can help in that area. But certainly against Bath as well, you've got Thomas to talk. Right, so I'm a bit nervous on that one. But yeah, no, like it's they have been outstanding in the URC, and just at home to get that loss when they were so far ahead. And it was just, as Quinny said, a little bit of discipline here, a little bit of game management there. There was a couple of changes as well. But generally, Hodnik came on. I mean, he had a good game off the bench. So I wouldn't be going, oh, absolutely, it's crazy, we were overpowered. I thought we actually were very good in our carries in the first half, and we got over the gain line. It's just that momentum switch, and that comes with not probably having playing together, the guys coming off the bench, and certainly the Stormers upping it and the physicality levels. So I wouldn't be worried going into the back game in particular on the basis of that. But certainly the scrum in particular, they will have to spend a bit more time on that this week.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. So listen to the full episode where we look ahead to the Champions Cup clash with Bath this weekend. Become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.